If you've been here much in the past 3 years, then you've heard me, and other people, frankly, preach a lot from the book of Acts. Okay? We talk, so every year after Easter, these, you know, 6-7 weeks after Easter, we have our first lesson from the book of Acts instead of from the Old Testament. So we get some Acts, and I like to preach on it, and other people do too. And the two summers before, we had sermon series from the book of Acts and did, you know, 10, 12, 15 sermons each summer from the book of Acts. So lots and lots of preaching from this book. And so I saw today's lesson from Acts, and I was like, ooh, this is an exciting one. I like this. This is good. I'm going to look up the last time I preached about this lesson, because probably I said something and I can say something different this time. Or maybe it was really good and I can just say the same thing and nobody will notice. That's what I thought. This is, of course, the end of Peter's encounter with Cornelius and Cornelius' household. It's a big deal story in the book of Acts, and so I thought, well, what did I say last time? And I looked in my records, because I have this awesome spreadsheet of all the sermons I've ever preached, and I got distracted and ended up filling out the rest of the spreadsheet for the last 2 years, so I found that I've preached 568 sermons in my life, and plus a few like weddings and funerals that just haven't made it onto the list. So 568 times I've preached, and the Acts ones, I didn't look at the actual number, but it came out to about 10% of those were from Acts, so 50-some. But I've never, it turns out, preached on this exact lesson before. I was flabbergasted. It's such a good story. It's a short reading, and it's the end of a long story. So in order to preach on it, I guess I have to tell the rest of the story. But it's a powerful, powerful reading. Now, I thought I had preached on it for a couple of reasons. One, it echoes some of the other exciting stories in Acts. Some of you were here just last week and heard the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch who is walking on the road. And the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip explains to him the scriptures, and the guy from Ethiopia says, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? And so Philip baptizes him right then and there, and he goes on his way rejoicing. And today's lesson echoes that same thing when Peter says, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So just a couple chapters apart in Acts, this same thing happens twice. First, the one Ethiopian Gentile, obviously, foreign person from a different place, is baptized. Now a whole household of Gentiles, a whole household of people who are different, are baptized. And in each case, the question is asked, what could prevent this? Here is the water. And the answer is nothing. There's nothing that need prevent these baptisms. There's nothing that need prevent these people from entering fully into the life of the church. Now, this is kind of a big deal because they are Gentiles, and up till this point, the whole deal has been that the Jewish people, God's chosen people, Israel, are the people who make up the church. These are the first times that it expands beyond to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world. This is a big deal in Acts. This is kind of the point of the book of Acts, is that the church expands from the first apostles in Jerusalem to the community in Jerusalem to the wider area of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles, to all people. Because there's nobody who, because of who they are or where they were born and how they grew up, there's nobody that can be separated from God's love in Jesus. The love and forgiveness, the freedom that comes with the death and resurrection of Jesus is for all people, irrespective of background, irrespective of what you've done or what has been done to you. It's for everybody. This story that we have today in Acts also reminds me of the Pentecost story. I read a commentary this week by a pastor named Amy Lindeman Allen, who is one of Sarah's classmates at the seminary, who I took a class with her too. She preached a sermon about me once for class. I don't like fake sermons, but it was very nice. It's very nice. Anyway, she pointed out that this story today, when the Holy Spirit descends upon Cornelius' household, before even they are baptized, this is like a little, it's like a mini Pentecost. It's like another Pentecost. The Pentecost for Gentiles. I'm going to try to make Gent-Pent happen. It's Gent-Pent. You guys, it's Gent-Pent day. I don't think that's ever going to work. Sounds ridiculous. But I thought I'd give it a shot, right? But it's the same story where they're here, and as my wife confirmed for me this morning, even the apostles, somebody correct us if we're wrong about this, correct me if I'm wrong about this, there's no time in the scriptures where it says that the 12 apostles were baptized, right? Is it? Deborah, you got anything? Carrie? No? I mean, we don't know, right? It doesn't say, like, then those guys finally got baptized. It's just, presumably they did, but it's omitted from the tale. And so we can assume, I think, that when Pentecost happened, that they had not yet been baptized, that the Holy Spirit came upon them before baptism, just like these Gentiles of Cornelius' household, his family, his servants. I mean, he's a soldier and a big-time soldier, and so he had a lot of people. And all those people there, the Holy Spirit came upon them. It doesn't say that there was fire. It doesn't say that they spoke all the languages. But the Holy Spirit came upon them just as it had the original apostles. And so this is a little bit of a Pentecost right here. A new Pentecost for a new section of the church. So all of this story is very familiar, and of course I thought I had preached on it lots of times. But it turns out I had not. We're going to go back now a little bit and talk more about the story of Peter and Cornelius, because that's what sets this up. This is the sort of the culmination of this whole story, and I want to make sure everybody has it in mind, because it's a very good story. So Cornelius is a centurion of, they call, the Italian cohort, so he's Italian, presumably. And it says he was a devout, God-fearing man. He believed in the God of Israel, even though as a Gentile he was not part of the tribe. This was not his religion per se, but he was allowed to participate up to a point in this faith in God. And so God spoke to Cornelius, and God said, Cornelius, go find this guy Simon Peter and bring him to your house. It'll be worth your while. Cornelius, okay. So he does that. So he sends people to find Peter. While they are going to find Peter, Peter himself is in Joppa, and he's hanging out, and he goes into this trance, and he has this very famous vision where something like a sheet comes down out of heaven, and it's filled with animals, like reptiles and birds and like wacky creatures. Not like normal farm animals that you would eat, but like strange and odd animals. And this voice, this divine voice says, Peter, get up and kill and eat. Eat these animals. And Peter says, hang on a minute. That is not how this works. The law of Moses says we're only to eat certain animals, and certainly reptiles and birds and whatever that thing is are not on the list. We don't eat those things. And the voice says, do it. And Peter says, no, and do it. And this happens three times that Peter refuses to eat. Refuses to eat. And then I got the line here. The divine voice says, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And that seems to win the argument, although Peter does not explicitly acknowledge that in the text. So just then, the men from Cornelius arrive and they say, Peter, and he says, yeah. And then a voice from God speaks and says, Peter, go with these guys. He says, okay, because Peter's having a really crazy day. So he's going to just start listening, try to keep his mouth shut. So he goes, and he sees Cornelius, and he gets to the house, and he says, look, you all know I'm not supposed to even come in this house, right? Much less spend time with you, eat with you, whatever. I mean, you're a Gentile. You're a soldier in a foreign army occupying our people. Like, there's no, like, we are not supposed to be friends, Peter says. And yet, God has shown me something else. He actually says it this way. This is a quote from earlier in this same chapter of Acts. Peter says, you yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So Peter's already made the jump, not just from these animals to eat being profane or unclean, but to people. Peter got sort of the metaphor of this story right away. Like, he figured it out. This is a story about how no person is unclean, how no person is profane, how no person is outside God's capacity for love and forgiveness and inclusion and welcome. And then, Peter, oh, is that, yeah, I know what that is. Then Peter gives a sermon. And it's maybe it's right up there with the best sermons in all of Scripture. So what I'm going to do now, as the preacher here, is I'm going to shamelessly steal Peter's sermon. I don't usually do this. I write my own stuff. I acknowledge it when I use other people's stuff, so I'm acknowledging. I'm just now going to preach Peter's sermon, because I can't say it better than this. This is the sermon during which the Holy Spirit came down and came upon these people in Cornelius' household. It was during this sermon. He didn't even get through the whole sermon before the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so I want you to listen, and I want you to hear this sermon. And I want you to know that these words are for you, not just for Cornelius and his family, that these words are for you. Peter said, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And at that point, today's lesson begins. While he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit descended upon them. And the apostles who had come from Joppa with Peter were amazed that even Gentiles could receive the Holy Spirit. That no one lives or exists outside God's capacity for love and forgiveness and welcome. Let us, like Peter, be amazed at God's capacity for love and forgiveness and welcome. And let us, like Peter, share the message of God's love. If you don't know how to say that, I don't know, just crib this, that little sermon I just did. It's better than what I was going to do. It's probably, you can go ahead and do the same. This is the message of God's love and forgiveness for us and for all people. It's the reason we're gathered here, and it's the reason we will go forth to share that love with one another. Amen.